Hope everyone is doing well. Say good morning.
Good morning.
All right. This is the second sermon in a short two-part series that I've titled Trust in God at All Times. And last week we saw things get really bad for the believers of Jesus Christ. James, an apostle, one of the original 12 disciples, was executed at the hands of Herod. Herod did this to please the Jewish rulers who wanted nothing more than to see the Christian faith die along with the believers, as well as all those who would proclaim the gospel of Jesus, that followed him or proclaimed that he was the Messiah. All of this was taking away from their own power, their own status, their own position. And so they were pleased when this innocent man, James, was killed. So the Jews were pleased to see James killed, and so Herod saw that they were pleased, and then that pleased him. And so he said, I'm going to do one better. And we know that he went to arrest and capture Peter, one of the main leaders of the Christian movement, the early church, the followers of Jesus Christ. And so where we last left off, Peter has been imprisoned, and we saw that it says the church begins to pray earnestly for Peter. They put their trust in God, even in the midst of the circumstances, and they surrender the situation up to him. And so today we're going to continue to see that as believers of Jesus Christ, we can and we must learn to trust in God at all times. Not just when the things are going well, not just when things are comfortable, not when things seemingly are going according to our own plan or our own understanding or desire of how we want our lives to look, but even in the midst of the lowest valleys, the most difficult of times as believers, not only should we trust in God, but we're going to see today why we can trust in him. So if I was up here telling you to trust God, but God was not trustworthy, then you should not trust me either. But God is trustworthy. He is who he's revealed himself to be from even before time began. Who God was is who he is and who he will be. So trust in God at all times. We're going to look at Acts chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 6 through 19. Acts 12, 6 through 19, and this is the word of God. Now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street. Immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, you are out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so and kept saying, it's his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, tell these things to James and to the brothers. Then he departed and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries and ordered that they be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are who you say that you are and that we can put our whole trust in you. God, I pray that you would just speak directly into our hearts. Many of us here right now, we need reminders of why it is that we can trust in you. We need reminders daily, moment to moment, because God, it's so easy for us to forget who you are and what it means that for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that we are your people and that you are always for us and not against us, and you're working for our good. So help us to see that today as we examine your word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So trusting in the Lord, trusting in God at all times, it means just that. It means trusting in his goodness, his holiness, his righteousness, his loving character. We're trusting in who he reveals himself to be. It does not mean that God will always give you the desired outcomes of your heart. It does not mean that we trust in him solely for the sake of changing our surroundings or the circumstances of our lives. Yes, can he do that? Of course. But we trust in who he is. There's a relationship between us and God for those who are believers of Jesus Christ. You see, circumstances do not always change for the better. But as we learn to continue to go to God in prayer, as we learn to continue to go to him in surrender and humility, putting our trust in him again and again, we grow in our faith. And though the surroundings around us may not change, inwardly we begin to change. Our faith grows. We come to understand that God truly is in control and that he loves us and knows us and cares for us. We learn to see that through all the things in life, hardship, difficulty, even tragedy, the deepest of sorrows and pains, that God is still with you. He's still with us. That's what his promise is, and he will never go against his own word. And so when all else changes, God never does. From the Old Testament, Genesis, to the end of the New Testament in Revelation, God remains the same. Now, if God was mercurial and he was up and down and who he was and what he felt and all these different things, could we really trust in him? Of course not, but he is the same. He has been pre-existent before even the world began, before even time began. Who he is the I am. There is no changing who our God is. And we should take comfort in that. He was not a warring and hateful God and vengeful God in the Old Testament, and then all of a sudden he's this gracious and loving God in the New Testament. No, there's no separation in the pages in the good word, perfect word that he's given to us from Genesis to Revelation. He is always who he has been. He never changes in his love, never changes in his holiness, never changes in his justice, never changes in his sovereignty. And again, that should cause us to just be in awe and wonder. This amazing, infinite God who cares so deeply for us in this world. His creation. So there's two things about trusting in God at all times that I hope that we will do together as a church, but also individually. First thing is this, is to trust in the power of the Lord. Trust in the power of the Lord. And secondly, if we're trusting in God at all times, we give God the glory in our lives and in our church. We give God the glory. So let's start with that first point, trust in God's power. So when you trust in God, you give your control over to him. You give control over every aspect of your life to him. You acknowledge and surrender that you need him and trust that he has you in his hands, that he truly is sovereign. Now, that all sounds good in theory, But the practical outworking, if we're honest with ourselves, we always want to leave some part, some aspect of our lives to our own control, don't we? It's hard to let go of everything. It's hard to truly believe that there's someone who loves us and cares for us so deeply that they will never harm us and that they will never go against us or forsake us. We've learned that probably through our own human relationships, that when we fully trust someone, we open ourselves up and there's a vulnerability there where you can get very, very hurt. The more that you open yourself up, the more that you give over control, the more chance for you to get hurt by someone. But our God who loves you, our God who is good, our God who is powerful, we can trust in Him at all times. And the thing about God is not only in His goodness, His love, but truly this aspect of His power. I feel like, especially, I don't know if it's just particularly in the States, in America, but we don't think enough about the incredible, awesome power of our God. We oftentimes try to confine His power to our own thinking, but His power is a supernatural power, one that we have to remember is given to us. By grace through faith, we have a connection with the infinitely powerful, great, almighty, one and only true God. And so when we surrender our lives over to Him, we surrender it to someone who we know has incredible power along with His love and sovereignty. So that is the power of God that we trust in when we go to Him in prayer. As the church is praying for Peter as he's imprisoned, they're going to this powerful God. So do you trust in the power of the Lord? Now, I was reminded of this, not just story, but what happened in the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 18. There's a prophet named Elijah, and I have some slides for you that you can kind of follow along with this story. It's one that I read to Caleb and Chloe recently, but it outlines this incredible power of God. You see, Elijah the prophet, he challenges the worshipers and the prophets of this false god named Baal. And he was a very popular false god of the time. And so it was Elijah representing the one true God, Yahweh, against hundreds of prophets who believed in Baal. That it was not the one true God that was giving them prosperity and all the different things going on in their nation, but that it was in fact Baal who was giving them everything. And so there was a contest that was set where a sacrifice would be made, and whoever's sacrifice caught fire when calling upon their respective gods that they believed in would prove to be the most powerful. So the prophets of Baal set up their sacrifice and they began to chant and shout for Baal to set their sacrifice ablaze. They cried out, "Baal, answer us!" Nothing happened. So they continued on for hours and hours, but still there was no answer. The sacrifice remained unlit. Elijah even came and in some way, it's kind of comedic, but he kind of mocks them a little bit and says, "Hey, maybe Baal is, he's asleep. Or maybe he's busy with other things. Or maybe he's using the restroom. Maybe that's why he's not answering your calls. Maybe you should shout even louder." And so that's what the prophets of Baal did. They got louder and louder. And as was part of their custom, they cut themselves. And as blood poured out, they continued to chant and scream, hoping that Baal would prove himself powerful over the God of Israel, over the God that we worship. Still no response. Then it was Elijah's turn. And he did something strange. He made an altar to God, and then he had people fill four jars of water. He had them pour the jars of water over the altar and sacrifice three times. So big jars of water, just dousing the area of sacrifice in water until it was completely soaked and saturated with water. Water even overflowed to a trench that was dug around the altar. And then Elijah called upon the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 37 to 38. "Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Can you just imagine that sight? We have hundreds of prophets chanting, shouting, screaming, cutting themselves, doing all sorts of things to try to get some kind of response from Baal, but there is no response because he is not God. There is only one God, and that's the God that we can trust in at all times. And so what happens? Elijah calls upon the name of the Lord, and in a moment, in an instant, there is fire from heaven that comes down and sets that sacrifice ablaze. That sacrifice that was soaked and absolutely saturated with water, all of it instantly, not only dried, but scorched. God proved his power. He set that offering ablaze. He proved that he alone is God. And I hope that we recognize his power and that that would add to our trust in him. That he's worthy of our trust. He makes himself known. And to take it farther, we know that God proved once and for all his power. It's not just to show it off, but it's with relationship to humanity. Look at the call of Elijah. He says, so that this people may know. It's not just to say, hey, look, I'm God, I'm awesome. But he wants a response from us that is trust, that is faith, that is worship. And we know that he proves that once and for all, ultimately evident in Christ Jesus. In Jesus Christ, the victory over death and sin as he died, as he bled upon the cross, but then he rose again from the dead. God is powerful. He can do things that we could not even fathom. That's the God in whom we believe and trust. Amen. Don't forget the power of Jesus Christ. Don't forget the power of our God. May that remind us that he is worthy of our trust, trust at all times. So now back to Peter and his imprisonment, where we continue to see that power on full display. Now you might wonder, remember that James was just killed. So you might have some questions. Well, why did James get killed, but Peter is saved in such a miraculous way? Is Peter greater than James? Is that what it's saying? Like, did Peter have more faith so he's being rescued miraculously from this jail cell while James, he gets one sentence in the previous passage and he's dead? Now, I don't have an answer for why these things took place in the way that they did, but I can say that I trust that God's ways and his plans are greater and better than anything that I could ever fathom. And that's part of faith, that's part of trusting in God's power, is acknowledging that his ways are higher than mine. And so even for the church, they might say, what is happening? And yet they can trust in the God that we just spoke about, that we just reminded ourselves about through the power he displayed with Elijah as he set that offering ablaze, the power that he showed through Christ Jesus the Son as he died on the cross, but he rose again. So Peter is here. He's in prison. So I'm going to paraphrase a little bit from verse 6 to 10 to remind us how incredible this rescue, this show of power is. So Peter is sleeping and he's imprisoned, but he's not just in a cell. He's sleeping between two soldiers. Like, Herod wanted to make sure that he had this guy literally on lockdown. So he's chained up. He's asleep between two soldiers. There's also guards to the entrance of the prison at different levels. But God sends an angel, and Peter must be a very deep sleeper because the angel has to literally strike him on his side. He's like, hey, man, get up. Get up. You're going to go out. You're going to be freed from this jail cell. He says, get up quickly. And as Peter gets up, those chains which bound him simply fall off. The angel tells Peter to get his shoes, his clothes, and follow him. And Peter is still so out of it because he thinks this is all a dream. You know, sometimes when you get woken up in the middle of a deep sleep and you just kind of like get up and you start doing things, but it's just like, oh man, am I still asleep? Am I awake? Well, Peter thought this was all a vision. He's like, oh, okay, well, I'm out here now. But by the time he comes to, he has passed all the guards. He's left this jail cell where he was sleeping in between two guards as he was bound. But he's out and he's free. And when he's safe, the angel immediately leaves. Now, this is not just a story. This is not a fable. This is not a fairy tale. This is God in human history, God working. We need to stop thinking that God's supernatural power is relegated and confined to the Bible and its pages. God is still the God of incredible, ultimate power. He's the same God who set Elijah's sacrifice ablaze, and we hear stories about miraculous healings and escapes from jail and the miracles that Jesus performed when we read the Bible, and we say, that's amazing. Praise God. Praise the God of the Bible. But that is the God whom we placed our faith in and follow now. Don't leave it in the pages of Scripture. Believe that He has the power to make a change in your life. It may not be your circumstances changing, but He will empower you to go through anything that you may face. So we see the Bible, we read the stories, we read the account of God's power, and then we go back to our regular lives, and it's so hard for us to even just have peace, to trust God with our families. We read the awesome power of God in the Bible. We hear it on Sunday. And then we go back to our jobs on Monday, and it's so hard for us to trust Him in that place, whatever conflict you might be going through, whatever hardships you may be facing. We read the pages of Scripture, and we say, God is amazing, He's powerful. And then we go back to our lives and we say, it's so hard for me to believe that God can really do something in my life or in my family or in my friends or all these different things. And you see what I'm trying to get at? Don't confine God's power to the pages of Scripture in a way that you don't truly believe and trust that He is the same God that you worship now. That when you pray to Him, you pray in a way where you're trusting that this is the God who we follow, the one who hears us. And I'm saying, do you believe that He is able to do all things? I'm not saying that He's going to do everything the way that you wanted, the way that you expected, the way that you have hoped for. But do you go to God in surrender, trusting in His power, and saying, God, as I pray to You, I know who You are, I know what You can do, and do you pray in such a way that even if what you pray for does not happen according to the way that you have prayed, you still trust in Him and you have still surrendered your life to Him. Trust in the power of God that is with you and in you. He is for you. And again, He has proven His power. He's proven Himself trustworthy, especially through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the grace offer to us all when we ask Jesus Christ, will you forgive my sins? When we pray to Him, God, I come before You. I need forgiveness for my sins. Will you forgive me? I believe in You, Jesus. The answer to that prayer for those who confess with their mouth and believe in their hearts who Jesus Christ is, that He is one who died on the cross for their sins and rose again, then you will be saved. So what I say is this. Let that one yes in prayer, let that one yes as you have received the gift of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus, let that yes cover all the no's that you may receive in prayer and all of the other maybe later answers that we receive from God. Amen. He's given to us, Romans chapter 8, verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? So when we read that verse, it doesn't mean He gives us everything we want, everything we could ever hope for or imagine in this world. But if He's given us His Son, Jesus, if He's displayed the power of victory and resurrection, then truly we can trust in him in all times, in all circumstances, in all situations. The last point is this: give God the glory. So Peter finally realizes that he's actually out of jail. He's no longer imprisoned. And what is his immediate response? It's to give glory and credit to God. He knew that he would have likely been killed, just like James had been killed, just like the Jews were hoping for and expecting, what Herod was likely plotting. And so Peter makes his way to the house of the mother of John, John Mark, who we know to be the author of the Gospel of Mark. And it's a significant thing to note that what the believers are doing when they get there is also showing a trust in God. And we talked about that a little bit last week. Verse 12, when he realizes, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. So there's this continual message of what it means to trust in God at all times. Prayer is such a significant, unique focus that God gives to us. It's a privilege that we can talk to God in such a free way. And they were continuing to give control over to the Lord. They were continuing to trust in God, even in the midst of Peter's imprisonment. They don't know that he's been freed yet. They don't know what's happened, this miracle, the show of God's power, but they're trusting in him. And they're giving God the glory no matter what was happening with Peter. And so Peter finally comes to Mary's house. And then there's something comedic that happens again. There's a servant girl that comes out to the door, and she recognizes his voice, and she's so excited, she doesn't even let Peter in. She runs back to the house and goes, "Guys, Peter's here." And they don't believe it's him. They even try to convince her that it must be his angel and not actually Peter. But finally they see him, and they can't argue with it any longer. And what does Peter do? He gives glory to God. He gives glory to God. But motioning to them, this is verse 17, with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Then he departed and went to another place. So James here, you know, obviously is not the James that was just killed. You know, you can't go tell this dead person what's happened. So this James, you know, was not an original apostle, but became recognized as an apostle later on. And he's the one who wrote actually the epistle or the book of James in the Bible. But again, I share this point just to show that Peter is always testifying to God's work in his life. He's always saying, "Look, give God the glory. I trust in him at all times." You know, I believe Peter was ready to die. That's what was going to happen. But he trusted in God. He gives God the glory. So we aren't told exactly what they were praying for in Mary's home, but we see continual reminder of learning how to surrender our situations, learning how to trust God in all the different things that he's given to us, all the different things that are happening. And this is what I want to say. We learn to trust God. We build. It's not just like, I want to trust in God, and then all of a sudden I trust in God completely. It's a relationship. Think about you and your spouse or your friend. Like, building trust is an active thing. And I believe prayer is one way that as we communicate with God, it actually helps us to grow in our faith. And what I mean by that is this: the people who were at Mary's house, what were they doing? They were praying. And one of the things that they were likely praying about and praying for was for Peter and his situation, that he'd been imprisoned wrongly, that he might be ready to die, just like James had just been killed. So when they see Peter, it's not just a joyful celebration that he's free. There's a connection there with a relationship with God because they have been praying about it, that when they see Peter, it's a building of faith. It's a building of trust. My goodness, did you hear the account? Did you hear what Peter just said about how he was freed? We were praying for that. So you trust in him more. You see the things that he's doing. And that prayer deepens your understanding and your thankfulness, your gratitude for what God is doing. If you never pray and good things happen, things are just happening, they just happen. But if you're surrendering daily, trusting God, and those things, you have the spiritual eyes to see how he's working in your life in a deeper and greater way. So I just want to say, you know, Trusting in God's power, giving him the glory. Prayer is a central part of doing that because that builds our trust. It builds our relationship with him. So trust in God at all times. I think when we pray to God in our lives, again, it gives us opportunity for us to give God the glory. To not say, hey, it was all about me, it's all about me, I was able to do this, I did that. But as we surrender, we see how everything God brings together, somehow even in the difficult things, working for our good. There's the truth that even when the answer to something that we pray for is no, we can still glorify God if in our hearts we are surrendered and trusting in his power. Imagine if the church looked at the killing of James and said, you know what, we're out. We don't trust in this God anymore. But no, they turned back to him. They surrendered. They said, God, we believe that you're still in control. We're confused. We're worried, but we want to bring these things to you in prayer. That's important. God does, in fact, answer every prayer that we pray. Sometimes the answer is no. Surrender means it's okay. Even if you say no, God, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to believe that you're still in control. Give God the glory because we know him and we can trust in him. So yes, again, trust in God at all times. Trust in the power of God. Give over full control. Surrender your hearts, your minds, every aspect of your life to him. He doesn't need us to say that he's in control for him to actually be in control, but to unlock the understanding that he is fully in control requires us to go to him in faith and actively surrender and pray. Does that make sense? Even if you don't surrender to God, guess what? He's still sovereign. He's still who he says he is. He's still working and powerful. But when we surrender to him, it connects us, reminds us of our relationship with him, and then we grow in our faith. God is always working for our good. He will never forsake us. Trust in his power. Give God the glory in all that we do. Let's pray together. Just take a moment to pray in response. Do you trust in God at all times? And maybe you don't even need to reflect on the past, but maybe right now, there's something that you are experiencing in your life that has caused you to wonder if God is who he says he is. That has caused you to doubt his trustworthiness. And he wants to speak to your heart right now and say, I'm here. Do you see my power? Do you see my love? Do you see that I have you, your life in my hands? So whatever it is you may be going through right now, trust God at all times. He loves you. He cares for you. He's with you. He's for you. Everything that he promises to us in his word from Genesis to Revelation, what he reveals through Jesus Christ. So please, right now, will you grow in your faith by surrendering to him? Trusting in him right now for whatever you're going through, whatever hardship or difficulty or depth that you feel like you are in, whatever it may be that you're wrestling with, bring it before God who hears you right now. And he may not change the situation, but he'll certainly give you peace in your heart. He'll certainly remind you and comfort you because that's the God that we have. So just take a moment to pray, and then we're actually going to go into a time of communion today to remember this amazing grace of God. Just take 1 minute to pray, and then I'll close this. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. Help us not to lose the awe and wonder of your amazing power. Help us not to just think that you are a God who, maybe we don't even think of you as a distant God sometimes, but we think of you as a God who is just a God of the story of the Bible. And remind us that we are an active part of your story unfolding, that you are a God who desires for a response from your people to grow in our trust and faith and in our love for you. And would you remind us of that as we go into a time of communion where you showed once and for all your power as Jesus died on the cross for our sins and on the third day rose again, defeating death, defeating sin, so that your people, those who have placed their faith in you, would be reminded of just how deeply we can trust in you at all times, even when all things seem and feel lost, that because we have you, we have all that we need. Grow our trust in you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.